Podcasting 2.0 for June 9th, 2023, episode 136, Moist Splits. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0, the only boardroom that has genuine Vikings. Everything happening at podcastindex.org. Of course, the podcast namespace and all the goings-on at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, the man who protects us all from recursive Armageddon. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
The whole time for the last 5 minutes, I've been furiously running around on my desktop trying to clear, since I'm also live streaming, I'm trying to clear my video streaming on No Agenda Tube, trying to go around and clear all the stuff that other people aren't supposed to see on my desktop.
My
private key for Nostra was sitting there.
Was that really there?
Yeah.
You know, you'll learn soon enough that streaming, in addition to doing a show, is really a big distraction. And then, you know, and then people don't listen to what you're saying. They're looking at trying to write down your private keys. You'll see. It's all right. We've all been through it, Dave. It's all cool. You know, I too had a see you, see me camera. I mean, remember those days?
From like 1998.
I had the Empire Cam from my office in New York City. It was focused on the Empire State Building.
Well, this is all going to result in just a, you know, about 10-15 minutes from now, it's just going to be a big boot.
Oh, that's exactly what it's going to be.
Boot! Yeah.
Exactly what it's going to be.
I will disappear, and then I'll come, but just hang with me. I'll come back.
It's always OBS, man. That thing will kill your processor.
Let's see. Let me look at where I'm at right now. So an H-top.
You know, when did H-top become a thing? I remember it was always just top and then H-top. And I'll admit, H-top is pretty cool. You know, you can filter it.
And it's pretty. The colors are pretty.
It has pretty colors. I'll agree. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to figure out. You just hit Q to get out. I was like...
Oh, really? That's the first thing I always try.
Took me quite a while to figure that one out.
We're smooth. We're running smooth. 35% CPU across the board.
Only 35%. Only 35%. Not even 100%.
Fire.
Oh, man, we got so much to talk about, and I think we should bring in our boardroom guest right away, honorary member, because, well, he's one of the OGs, and we're very happy to have him back. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to the CEO and founder of PodFriend, the world's friendliest podcast app, our friend Martin Morrison.
Woohoo! Hello.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Hello.
I like that everyone calls me CEO of PodFriend, but there's no company yet. But one day.
I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
You have a profile.
I think it's Sam Sethi or James that called me CEO of PodFriend at some point. Well, but it sounds good.
I mean, take it, man. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's good.
No.
It's not true.
True.
Which is the same as not. Yes. Right. We agree with each other. I mean, like when it's a tiny micro business, you can be whatever you want. You can call yourself anything.
That is actually true. And at some point I will create the company just to get tax deductions.
So Martin joined us right at the very beginning almost of this entire project 3 years ago and created PodFriend, which was a web-based podcast app, which a lot of people really loved. And then he divorced us and he went off and he found a woman and a child and all this stuff. And then he started developing games and we were like, you know, I'd written him out of the will. It was like, no, it's all right. He's left us and you're back. We need a little update, Martin. Where have you been? What's been going on? And welcome back.
Well, first of all, thank you. And second of all, yeah, I mean, it was quite a break. I think in the start of like, I was working on PodFriend, their first version, and somehow I managed to burn myself out a little bit just by moving a little bit too fast with the scissors. But
you poked yourself in the eye. That's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, I got a promotion at work, which, you know.
Oh, congratulations. You know,
well, thank you. But of course, that just took a lot of my time. And then at the same time, we bought a house, me and my, well, then girlfriend, now wife. And
There was a wedding? Dave, did you see an invite? Somehow I must have.
No, I didn't. I would have sent a gift, and I'm not kidding.
If you were registered anywhere, I would have sent you some, you know, like a bread mixer. That's like a classic. Like, here's a bread mixer. Yeah. That's what you need.
Flatware.
Yeah. Flatware.
You left money on the table, Martin.
That's right. You sure did.
Yeah. No, but it wasn't really like something that I thought of, like, oh, I'm going to take a break now. It was more like just real life things, like, as I said, the house, where everything was wrong with the house. You know, we bought it, and then it turned out, like, oh, there's actually rats in the house and stuff like that.
Oh, there's a rat in the kitchen. What am I going to do? Nice.
Exactly. And yeah, there was a lot of things to fix, and we fixed it. It's good now.
Now, are you in the Copenhagen area?
I am, yeah. I'm just what you call like the greater Copenhagen area. So just a little bit outside the main city.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, and then, you know, in the break, I did work on PodFriend 2.0. Like, I didn't even know it was like the 2.0 at that point, but I just realized that a lot of decisions I've made was because it was the first time I made a cross-platform app like that, where it was both on web and desktop and, you know, Android and iOS. And suddenly I found out, I've taken some decisions that seemed smart, but are really for like enterprise companies with, you know, 100 developers or 200 developers.
Which is what you're used to. I mean, that's the life you live most of the time, right?
So in my day-to-day job, I'm actually not a programmer anymore. Like, that's my background, engineering.
Oh,
I'm in management now.
Nah, he's a suit. Exactly. He's a suit. Suit.
I love programming, but now I get that out of my system in the evenings, programming on PodFriend. Working from scratch, you know, there's a lot of decisions. Suddenly you can be like, I'm going to use a different, I'm getting a little bit technical now, but state management system and things like that. And work this new version. I mean, there's a lot to be said about never rebuilding something from scratch, because there's so many bugs where it's like, oh, like this issue, like that, that I'm fixing on iOS, I fixed that 2 years ago in the version one, but you know, you encounter a lot of the same things. But the foundation is just so much stronger now. So I can move a lot faster now.
So now I need to ask, what are you using? Nutty Fluffer? What is that called? The Fluffer, Fluffy?
I think it's called, what is it? Flutter.
Flutter. That's what I was looking for. No, yes.
But I'm not using that actually. I'm using React, and then I'm using and that's called, that's on the client side. And then for the desktop app, I'm using something called Electron. Mm-hmm. And then for the native apps, I'm using something called Cordova, Apache Cordova, where you can basically take a web app and then compile it into a native app. And then when you need native capabilities, then you bring in like either plugins or you write your own, where you then write the native code. So that means suddenly, you know, 99% of the app, you know, stuff like showing a list of podcasts, you don't need native code for that. You don't need it to be like, you know, pedal to the metal and you know, every inch of performance. No, that you just need something cross-platform for that, and that's what I do. So the only thing that I really use native code for is the audio, and in the future things like notifications, and probably if I'm gonna, you know, expand into, you know, CarPlay and things like that, maybe I need a bit more.
Now, if I recall, you were having issues with Apple the first time around getting your app approved. Did you actually ever get it approved at that time?
I got close. You know.
Woo.
Yeah, but no, it never got through the test flight. So you know, I managed to talk to maybe 10 people at Apple. You know, every time you submit it, someone new is going to look at it and give you a reason why it wasn't approved.
And
every time I got I think the 9 first reasons I got for not approving it was, hey, we can see you also have web.podfriend.com, and the app is the same as the website, so it could just be a website, so it doesn't need to be an app. And I'm like, well, you can say that about any app. Like, anything could be a
really
website.
Thanks,
days.
Douchebags. That's not very kind of them.
So it felt like I got punished a bit for also having the website. But then in the end, I wrote basically, every single time I wrote a new reason why I thought, hey, why it should pass by. And then in the last attempt, it did actually go by that hurdle, and then it became something else that was a problem. I can't even remember it, like the screenshots not matching the app or something, because you upload like some marketing material, and then
of course
Podfriend, I run with Sysad, so suddenly the one screen doesn't match what's actually in the app, and I'm like, But I do see Apple actually loosening up a bit. Like, they are trying to have a better image. Like, also with their progressive web apps, it seems like they're trying to make Safari less of an Internet Explorer. So
what are they trying to make it then? Just better, you mean? Is that an improvement? Less of an Internet Explorer? I'm not quite sure what that means.
Yeah, I can see that they're trying to improve it a lot. I mean, of course, some things are still taking time, and the way I see it, it's probably like an anti-monopoly like thing that they're trying to do, because
of course
they've already been pushed to allow some apps from outside the App Store, and. Mm-hmm. I think this is an attempt for them to say, oh, you know what? You know, we can run any progressive web app. So I think they felt like they had to up their game. So
now, how far down the stack did you go with the rewrite? I mean, did you just go from complete scratch, empty project level, or did you?
Empty project, okay. Empty project level, but then. Whew. Because I kind of had to, because I used a different framework for the interface, and then I also used a different framework for the state management. But of course, there are some things, the whole server side I haven't touched, because all the API endpoints are still there. It would, and that's why, when Adam said, hey, I can still use my old user, that's because the whole backend server side is still the same.
That was cool.
And of course there are also things where I started from scratch, but then I, went into the old files, copied a bit of code and pasted it in, and it's not like I want to rewrite everything just for the sake of rewriting everything, but I did want to consider, like, did I do this the right way the last time? And if yes, then I can reuse the code, but I wanted it to be like a deliberate decision every single time.
Now, do you subscribe to the rewrite it 3 times methodology, where it's like, but the third time is the, like, write it once, you're going to hate it. Write it the second time, realize, oh, man, if I'd only done this, and the third time's the charm.
Yeah, so I fully buy into that if I'm getting paid to do it.
touche. Yes.
Yeah, because it definitely does improve it. Like, I remember, some of the times when I've worked for bigger companies, for example, like the one I'm working for now, we did do that where we, really, really thought hard about, like, this function should be the best it could be. And then, you rewrite it, and could it be shorter? Could it be more clear? And you can always improve it. But when running with Sysad, it's like, I'm like, well, why would I rewrite it? It's like, it's a piece of software that, as long as it works, I might never return to it. I return to what I see, needs work. Like, for example, the current, Podfriend 2.0, one of my coworkers, a designer, he offered to help out a bit. And you know, he asked me, okay, so, you know, what do you feel strongly about changing? And I was like, well, I don't feel strongly about changing anything. Like, I, like, if there's something where we can see an improvement, well, then
well, one of the things that you did, which just blew my socks off, is the way you are presenting transcripts.
Oh, yeah. So that was actually funny. Like, it kind of almost happened by, like, by chance. For the people that follow along on podcast index.social, they might remember I posted a screenshot like, hey, does anyone have ideas on how, you know, this could be better? And of course, some people did reply, like, and said, hey, this app does it well. And I looked and I was like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not.
Ooh, the F word.
Yeah, the F word.
It's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
And then I saw, like, hey, we have these speakers in most of these transcripts. Like, why couldn't it be like a, you know, and I thought about like a text or a messenger conversation. And then I saw, hey, you know, these names, could I, you know, put in the avatar? And then I looked in the person tag and I'm like, hey, you know, almost all of the transcripts that I look at, they have the same name as speakers as in the person tag.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just pull in the avatar. And then, yeah, the rest is history. I do plan now to, you know, have some kind of currently playing page where you can see the transcript, but then you can also see, you know, during that timeline, the boosts that come in and when they come in and what message they had.
So you're gonna show boosts like Fountain does?
I haven't seen how Fountain does it. It's been a long time since I've...
You're going to surface them, though. Let's put it that way. You're going to surface the boost. Okay.
Yeah. Oscar actually reached out to me about... he had an idea about how we could share boost comments together. And then I think he got busy with the...
the evil plan comes true. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that, actually that would be really cool because I think that is one thing... Like, I would... Maybe not missing, but it would be a very, very nice to have because if I want to surface boosts, if I can only show, you know, what's coming through Podfriend, of course, then I'm missing a lot of the ecosystem. Even if Podfriend was to get, you know, popular, which of course I hope it does, then, you know, no doubt that, you know, Fountain would still be popular and it would be nice if it could. Like if the whole ecosystem could share.
Well, this brings me to an important... First of all, I'd love it if you do it the same way that that Fountain does it. I personally like adding a service into the value block split, just so that, you know, so I send 1% to Fountain and that activates... I think it actually activates from any app that you then boost from. Now, it doesn't handle the... I think that's the way it works.
I mean, that would make sense, right? Because then they also get the boost. I mean, the only thing that I could have, the only thing I could have against that is that when you look at podcasting 2.0, the feed, I think you already have 12 people in there and, you know, you keep adding more. At some point, you're almost going to run out of split.
This is a different, there's a couple issues here. First of all, thank you very much for sending me your wallet information up front. That forced me to, and this is for Stephen B. It's when you're using a general channel level value block just for the show, or even if it's episode, whenever you need to copy it to another place, copy your value block. Currently in Sovereign Feeds, I have to copy every single one over individually. And I royally screwed it up today. I had Dreb Scott's wrong. I had the boost bot, right? Everything all wrong. So I've been fixing that on the fly while we were talking. So I think that's now fixed. But this kind of rolls into, and I love that you're going to be surfacing the boosts. Let's just put that privacy conversation aside for now. That's something we can talk about. Dave and I had a conversation with the Bitcoin 24 people this week. Mm-hmm. And it's very relevant to what we're talking about here. And I came up with an idea, which I think is, I mean, it's a business. I always love coming up with ideas for businesses other people can do because I'm not going to do it. So we're talking about doing it's a very interesting organizational structure they have there. So we're talking to the general manager and the production manager who produces the entire event. But there's apparently a different team with the content team, and we will have to pitch to them in order to get this session on the schedule, which I'm not worried about. Sounds like, you know, these guys are, they're all in. They love the idea. But so we still have to do that. Now, I'm not too worried about it. And it probably includes me writing something to, for the Bitcoin magazine. All of that will happen. But as we're listening to them, they said, you know, we tried to set up with, I think with Oscar and with Fountain, we tried to set up a live stream of the Bitcoin 2023 event in Miami, which I'm going to presume was audio only. And I'm just going to leave the audio video, but whichever it is, I'm just going to leave that to the side for one moment, because we're talking through this, like, you know, we could probably set this up. We've done this with 100% Retro, where we can have value blocks change, we can have album art change, and then all of a sudden it hit me, holy crap, this is a business. Listen to this. If you could have essentially a live operator, even using something as sovereign feeds, just like when the live stream is going and I play a song and I switch to the song and I hit this, I activate it in my little interface here. I activate the value block. This is something that could be done at every single conference in the world, where you make sure that every speaker has a Lightning wallet compatible, of course. Now, I'm going to leave how they get into a value block on the side here. But essentially, the conference is running, someone's listening live, you know, just like someone is, you know, switching cameras or doing whatever they have to do. When the next speaker gets on or the next panel, click, activate that block. Bam! You've got four different wallets for the panel on stage. At that point, all streaming sats are going through. The actual messages that'll be sent even from the live audience can surface in the apps or even surface on the screens at the event itself. This is a whole new value for value proposition for conferences. When most people go to a conference, you don't get paid. Now, yeah, all of a sudden, you can not only get paid, you can have the interaction from the audience. People at home can see that. You don't have to be looking at screens. It can come in on the apps. I mean, this to me is like, oh, this is a business here that would add to any live production of any event. And to have this surface live in the apps, I think, is a winner.
Why couldn't you extend this, the same concept, to webinars?
Yes,
like over RSS, just over RSS. Boom. calm down.
Exactly. Everything. It's a whole new way of looking at value for value, and with the Lit protocol, with the streams, webinar is a great idea. With the stream, it's streaming, and, you know, someone has to operate this, obviously, but that's, you know, maybe Stephen B can quit his day job and do this full time. And then at the end, the webinar turns into a recording and all the value blocks are intact in the right spot with his beautiful synchronization system.
But through podcast apps.
Yes.
Like through a podcast, you know, you tune in to this webinar, not through Zoom, but through PodFriend.
Yes. Exactly. And I just got all hyped about it. I'm like, oh my God, this is something completely new. Now, if anyone wants to do this, October Bitcoin Amsterdam is when they'd like to do it. And the streaming, you know, they're going to send out a stream. I mean, that's not the hardest part. It's, you know, setting this up and collecting all the info and getting people Lightning wallets. I'm sure Moritz at GetAlbi would be delighted to help. I mean, this is a podcasting 2.0 business opportunity where, once again, love it, everybody wins. Everybody gets a point off of this, including the app developers.
Mdusha said, like, America's Got Talent.
Well, you can, yeah, I mean, of course you can do, I mean, we can extend it wherever you want to go, but I think initially just to be able to have a panel and just, so, and this is partially, I'm going to get back to you here, Martin, because you said, hey, why don't you do the, you know, if you want to put me in the live block, and this is something we should have done a long time ago, But we had guest upon guest, and I felt it was unfair for the previous week's guest to not get the, you know, the boost from this week. So now, since Dave and I did 2 weeks in a row ourselves, we've turned it around. So now the guest will be in the current live block.
And okay, cool.
So, yes. Yeah. So, you know, if you boost right now, Martin gets, Martin gets included in the live stuff.
I must say that's really motivational. I can actually sit here and look at my LBE wallet and see the SAT streaming. It's a pretty nice experience.
So it is working. You're seeing that come in.
It's definitely working. Yeah.
This is hot so shit, nice. Baby. I love it. But think about how we can blow the webinars, conferences, anything. And of course, you could pre-program, Dave. You know, we have the software for that. But I think I'm not quite sure how you do that. You know, not everybody has, of course, a feed. But I, from what I understand from the new description of the value time split tag. Is you don't even have to have a feed, but as long as you have some place where a Lightning address is referenced. I'm not quite sure of the technical parts of it, but it seems like that should be relatively easy to set up. And then, you know, next panel, it's four people. They all have a Lightning wallet. They all get this equal split. The moderator might get a little bit more. You know, of course, the venue, the actual organizer of the event gets a piece. There's a piece left over for the app. There's a piece left over for the person running this business. And for the Lightning wallets, I mean, it can be.
But here, Cotton Gin screwing around. He says, "When can I boost my president?" That hey, political rallies.
Same thing.
That's a campaign donation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey,
concerts,
right?
Yeah. Concerts, I
mean, concerts.
This is a good, this sexy, is a fantastic right? idea. This
sexy,
is fantastic.
Right? Sexy. It's sexy. The lit protocol, the lit item, the live item tag really brings a whole new category of cool stuff to light.
And it's,
do you,
so we,
do you guys, there's, oh, sorry.
No, there's some things that are needed for that though. Like one thing is we're going to have to push this idea there that,
well, here's the target, and then the target is Bitcoin Amsterdam October. Those guys are completely open. They're virgin. They're blank slate. They're jacked about any, and we don't need any permission from the whole Starfleet command over there. It sounds like our the producer, what was his name, Scott, I think, who does the production of the events. Sounds like he was like, how do we get this going? So we can make this happen quite easily as long as we can put all the pieces in place.
So the issue that I see is this is not an issue that stops any of this, but there's a couple things here that that come to mind. So firstly, and we need a prime, and I will take this as my duty, we need an explainer, a comprehensive thing that shows exactly how to do this. Because I'm impressed that you just read the value time split and understood it. Because I wrote and rewrote the wording there using what Alex had put together initially, and was just trying to tweak more language here and there. It is a difficult thing to explain.
Well, first of all, I'm very flattered that you are impressed that I understood what you wrote. I'm like, I did it quite well. Yes.
I'm impressed because I read it and I didn't understand it. Like,
did you rewrite it three times, Dave?
I did not rewrite it three times. Of course, I reread it probably 15 times.
I read it and immediately went, well, how come I can't do recursion? Well, to which everyone was laughing like, oh, I see why. Yeah, that could cause a problem.
This is because I know how the thing works, and but maybe it's all the years of help desk work or whatever that is. I'm reading this and I'm like, no human is going to understand this unless you already know what it does.
Right.
And so I think I even wrote in the spec, that this thing needs, that there's going to be an explainer for it, because I wrote that blog post a while back about, how to do live, but really, really, I mean, so much has changed now. There really needs to be a dedicated document that's sort of like between a spec and a manual. Plain English.
And a manual, yeah. Well,
yeah, and yeah.
So Stephen B., of course, already said, tell me what you need, I'll have it built by the end of the week. Okay, yeah, obviously. but his production tool, it is pretty much already there. I mean, what I'd say is I would need a way to put in Lightning addresses. So right now he has albums, and then, you know, it automatically propagates the value block. So to be able to just use the same interface, and you have to see sovereignfeeds.com to understand what I'm talking about, but to have it, you know, to say, okay, here's a list of lightning addresses, and I can just select them the same way, and then I can activate the value block or whatever. I mean, it fits within the spec the way I understood it. It doesn't necessarily have to be an RSS feed. It's a remote item, correct?
Right.
Okay. So that, and which right. does not have to be an RSS feed, or did I misunderstand that?
Well, I don't know what you mean by does not have to be an RSS feed.
Okay. So where you get the information from is, so when I'm playing a song, the information for that value block for that song mm-hmm. is in its RSS feed.
For a remote
the value
item.
Block. Yeah, yes. The value block.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I have four speakers on a panel, how do I They're put not, them into a complete value block?
Okay, yes. Okay, I see what you mean now. So that, yeah, so there's two functions for the value time split tag. The value time split tag, we're veering into, you understand, we're veering into namespace Ooh. Talk here, so...
Is it hot and sexy? Because then, you know, then we can play the jam.
It's always hot.
And now it's time
hot.
For
it's always
some
hot and sexy.
Hot
yes,
namespace talk.
Not just some namespace talk. It's hot name. It's hot namespace talk.
I mean, it even has the word split in it. So yes,
split.
It's very hot.
Split.
The value time split tag has two possible children. It can take either a remote item tag, which would reference a feed somewhere else, or it can directly accept value recipient tags. So you can go, you statically put those in, or you can reference a remote item where it's dynamic, and that would be dynamic on the fly. Because it's dynamic on the fly lookup. I mean,
right?
So you've got you can go either way with it. So for the webinar or whatever live stream, it could be a mix of both. I mean, like if you're doing a live show on the stage at blah blah blah, and you decide to play music, well, then it could reference a remote item of the feed that music's coming from. If you're just in, and then if after that a speaker comes on stage and begins to talk, it could just be a static value recipient block for that speaker.
Got it. Okay, yep. Perfect. So, yes, we need to write that up.
Yep.
It would be great if we can figure out, and I guess Dave, you and I, you know, we'll talk to the Bitcoin 24 production guys about getting this going. And, you know, and then we'll see, you know, who raises their hand. I mean, whoever, we'll need someone to, you know, to operate the system during the conference, which could be multiple people, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, it's like everybody gets cut. I think if you have an audience, especially Bitcoin people, and they have up on, you know, they have a sessions going on. And it says, you know, use a podcasting 2.0 app. and if they also have a screen or something where they're showing the boostograms, mm-hmm. I think that would be kind of off the hook.
Yeah, I think it would break things. Yes.
And I think it's I don't know. I think it's a money making opportunity.
Break brains. I think it would break brains.
Oh, break brains. Yes. I think it's a money making opportunity. People will get it. That audience will get it. And conference organizers everywhere will get it. The number one thing is your speakers. Speaker, you know, if you're not promoting something, if you're not being, if you're not being sent by your company to shill something, which is probably a good 70% of the speakers, But other people just show up, you know, and maybe they get comped for the attendance fee. But to actually get value from the audience while you're doing this, hello, this is my life. And it doesn't matter if it's $10 or $10,000, the fact that someone, you know, is feeding back in real time, and maybe while I'm speaking, I can have my screen open right there and see what's coming in. Questions from the audience, anyone?
Well, here's part two of this. I think I texted you this morning. I think we need to make, as part of this whole thing, a real push for Bolt 12.
And this will make it happen at that conference.
And I can tell you, and let me tell you why, because I don't know if you saw Strike's announcement of, like, they've completely re-engineered their infrastructure.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I think this maybe was posted today or yesterday. It's been within the last day or so. Mm. They've done a complete overhaul. They now custody their own coins, Bitcoin. They have new banking partners. Rid of Plaid.
Good.
They're doing tons of stuff.
It was about time they got rid of Plaid.
Yeah, they're doing tons of stuff there. And one of the things is they're making it where you can spend, when you send somebody money or receive money, that those funds can either go into or come out of your cash balance or your Bitcoin balance. It's interchangeable. They're all the same. It's like they're doing a lot of stuff here, and this is the perfect, but the issue is, if I want to use my Strike wallet as my way to receive value for value sats as a podcaster, I can't, because I can't generate invoices for all those things. It's not feasible.
Right.
So and I have a really hard time believing that Strike is going to implement key send receiving, because that means they would have to have a custom key, custom value for every wallet and all this kind of stuff. And so what the proper fix for this is Bolt 12.
Bolt 12, yes, exactly. It gets all that stuff out of the way.
Yeah, because it can generate invoices. So if you put in Bolt 12, if everybody adopts Bolt 12, you can
it's a reusable invoice, right?
Yeah. You can generate it once. It's tied to your Strike account or your Cash App account or blah 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 blah. You blah put blah that blah in blah there, blah, and then all of a sudden, everybody can use their own thing for their own wallet.
Yes, 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 yes.
It opens the field way up and makes this a whole lot easier.
We'll do that. That's a part of it. That will be a part of, and that'll be a part of the pitch.
We're effective. If there's one thing that we are good at, we are effective users of shame. And I think we can employ that.
I agree. Yes. That's right. Shame on you.
We can deploy that strategy.
Well, also, to be even more fair about it, I mean, we're doing things. We were the first, I would say, Lightning project to really get people to part with their Bitcoin on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Not even for purchasing something per se. And we are still, as far as I know, really one of the few who have really implemented micropayments, which is not even on the Lightning Labs radar anymore. You know, like, oh, how can we send, you know, big money, and how can we make it USD?
V4VStats.com.
Yes.
The charts. Yeah. But yeah, like my favorite thing was that time was when you brought that up in the Bitcoin and the Lightning roundtable, and they said, well, you're probably just going to have to send bigger payments. Like, no.
Yeah, that was actually quite lame when that came back as the answer.
Yeah, but anyway, no, this is a fantastic idea. I love this.
Wow.
Brain breakage incoming.
Go ahead, Martin. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just thinking, we're talking about podcasting 2.0 apps, but why not make a specific conference app, you know, both for hosts and for the attendees, you know, that only shows the speaks, you know, you can attend.
Well, you know why?
Because completely user-friendly.
We can't even make a music-specific app, so I'm not gonna hang around waiting for that to happen. Personally, I think we have the infrastructure, and of course someone could do that, of course, but let's not wait for it. We have podcast apps that do this. I mean, we also didn't make a live only app for the lit stuff. You know, it's all within the podcast app. So I think we have the infrastructure ready to go.
We can definitely put a new, on that note, Martin, we could definitely put a new medium type in there, though.
That's I mean, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, you know, I certainly imagine at some point, you know, the, at the top or, you know, bottom or side of Podfriend, you know, you will be able to switch between music and podcasts. And then imagine you can just go into options or even, you know, have a different version of Podfriend that's called, you know, Conference Friend. And then per default, it's just the medium.
Martin, come on, Viking. Yeah. We know what you're doing. You're setting up your business already. You know, Conference Friend. Yes, I have a new app I'm building. Yeah, we know what's up.
Let me just check the domain availability here.
Quick, move fast. Someone else is going to do it. This brings up one other point, which is important. The last song that we played on Podcasting 2.0, which we did with the Value Time Split, was Corey Keller. And as I and a lot of other people noticed, it didn't move the needle on it in Wavelake. And that is because it's self-hosted, which is completely valid. And the only bummer about that, I don't really care too much about the chart, but the bummer was I have, as the broadcaster, as the facilitator of this, I have no idea how well that was received by the audience. And I know we've talked about it before, but when we switch the value block, I need to have some way of seeing that in helipad or some, I need to be able to know that this went to this block and that's what this streaming payment or even forget that what this boostergram was for. I know we've talked about it, but it doesn't seem to have, there's nothing, nothing's happened. Nothing happened. The hell, it's like, we talked about it. Where's the proof?
I like that. That's how this goes. We discussed it and it didn't happen.
Well, whenever we talk about something, Stephen B always makes it happen. So I don't understand what happened. What needs to be done for that to work? Is it possible? I mean, it's not about a chart. Yeah. I'm not interested in top 40s. I mean, it's fun to have, but it's more, it's more important that as a podcaster, I can see, I'm really happy that this guy, got 100,000 sats or here's the messages he got or whatever. I just want to know. I have no feedback, whereas the artist has the feedback, but I don't have the feedback.
No, it can happen. It can happen. I'll make it happen.
Can you just tell me how that works? How will you make it happen?
I'll write the code for it.
Oh, okay. But where's the code have to live? Is that code in helipad or okay. So it's not the way we're sending it. It's how it's being parsed.
Well, it's all that. I mean, like so helipad just needs to be modified in order to, helipad needs to be modified in order to see the new components of the TLV record. It's not exposing that to you. That's the problem.
Got it.
So you're not seeing the new information. And that's just something I just had to get in there and do it.
Is there any information in the TLV that, you know, signals that, hey, this was sent on like to this podcast, but on behalf of another podcast? That's
yes.
Not, is there?
It is. Yeah, it is. We put that in there. Let me see if I can find it. It's a blip 10, and that's part of the
there's some additional stuff coming through the TLV record.
Yeah, that's in the namespace now, Martin. Let me get with it, Martin.
Find
it for you.
Where have you been, Martin?
Because, you know, I implemented the value time split, and I think I forgot that detail. So, you know, people that are getting the boost, it will look like any boost that's coming through. So that's definitely something I'll have to add.
I'm on that page right now, so let me find out. Let me get it for you. Okay, yeah. So here it is. So we added two new optional fields in the TLV, and one is called remote feed GUID, and it's a string. That's and the other it. One's called That's remote it. Item GUID.
That's it.
And it says sometimes a payment will be sent to a feed's value block because a different feed referenced it in a podcast value time split tag. When that happens, this field will contain the GUID of the referencing feed.
And I really, I love this. And anyone who's implementing lit. I hope you all do that. Because, you know, something came up that, just switching topics a little bit here. Tucker Carlson, very famous American television host, he got fired from his job for whatever reason. It's all political, not important. But he started posting on Twitter, and I find it highly irritating that, there's a little number on there and says 125 million views. And people are like, whoa, see, mainstream is over, which it is, but this is not your metric. This is Elon Musk's bullshit number. Who knows what that is? It is a view 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 minutes, the whole thing. What is a view? And it's completely meaningless. And when we have these types of things built in at the ground level of what we're doing, it's 100. It's almost.
I got close.
I got close. I'll give myself a horn.
I think you mean ultimately.
Yes, ultimately, it's real measurement, you know, and maybe it's not public like those bullcrap view numbers are, but it's important to, and it's valuable to the makers, to the people who are part of that transaction, you know, and it's real. And when it's real and it involves real value, it's much more valuable than some number where people all, because this is coming. You know, after YouTube, now it's going to be Twitter's the new place to put your podcast. You just watch. It's all going to happen. The podcast industrial complex is already all jacked up about it. I'm looking at you, Rob Greenlee.
Now, was he jacked about it?
Yeah, and I called him out on Twitter. So what is it? So what? There's no RSS feed in or out. What is a view? What does it mean? And, he cops to it. But this knee-jerk reaction, let's this is a new place. It's a new place to go. Let's face it. Podcasting, and this is hat tip to Todd at Blueberry. The COVID period is over. Mm-hmm. When everyone was creating a podcast or anyone who had a podcast created another podcast, we're back to 5% growth per year, slow and steady as she goes. There's no more magic money. And certainly not at Spotify.
This brings up something I've been thinking about. I love this is out of the blue, but I love the Apple Vision Pro headset goggle thing.
I love it too, but maybe you're being facetious.
I love it, and I'll tell you why. I don't know if facetious is the right word because I don't know what the definition of it is, but I love this product because, in my opinion, this will be looked back upon as the poster child for when everything began to fall apart.
You mean like mainstream media?
No, I'm more mean tech, the lie of technological progress.
Interesting.
I think the big tech lie is what I think I'm talking about. So you have there's that famous, there's that quote by Peter Thiel. I think we may have mentioned it, is we were promised flying cars and we got 140 characters.
Right. Yeah.
This has been on my mind a lot. And, I think it's already started this decline, which you might want to call like a slow fade of the entertainment of the digital, let's see, how would you describe it? It's like a slow fade of digital network entertainment.
When you say network, what do you mean? Because I've long declared the network to be over.
Right. But, things like streaming, things like, social media. I think there is a general fatigue that is setting in, not because, and I think it was prompted initially by COVID. I think COVID broke the entire world mentally. I think we're all
in agreement on that.
Yeah, we're globally as a human species, we've been walking around in a fog for the last 18 months because we don't know what to do now. We don't know how to process this thing that just happened to us, where our entire worlds were flipped upside down temporarily for a couple of years and then supposedly go back to normal. That's not how humans function. And so you're beginning to see this slow fade. And well, there's a clip I brought, and I'm clipping again for the second week in a row, Windows Weekly, which I need to put their value block. Oh wait, they don't have a value block. So we'll just have to play them, and then we'll get nothing for this.
That's right.
But this is a little bit of a longer clip, which I apologize for, but I think it's kind of necessary.
But this is the correlation with the PC market decline. We were post-pandemic, yes, and people are playing fewer online games, yep, full stop.
By the way, we're seeing that in podcasting, too, incidentally.
Sure.
Spotify just laid off hundreds of podcast employees. Our audiences for all of our shows is down by 10-20%. I don't know what you're experiencing, Richard. You might be a little protected because you're offering something that's so specific to enterprise.
The sysadmins is the sysadmins, but I'm with you. The numbers are off a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe 10%.
And I think that's the same thing we're seeing across the board. It's the end, of the end of the pandemic, the beginning of...
I also think the weather's getting nice.
The weather's nice.
People let it out.
And from a point of view of podcasting, but this is probably true also of gaming.
See, my usage of this stuff has not changed. Well, I stopped playing video games.
Look at this guy. He's the source of the problem.
No, but that literally has nothing. The pandemic has nothing to do with it. My listening time or whatever on podcasts has not changed in the slightest. I still listen to those things the same times and places and lengths of time as I always did because I go to the gym most days. And when I'm driving the car, whatever it is, like that's my time.
That's
I get ready in the morning and I'm shaving and stuff. I throw on a podcast. Like I'm a little confused at that stuff timing. Are people suddenly going back to work that I'm unaware of? I feel like, you know, you go to cities and these office buildings are all empty. So
yeah,
I feel like this stuff, I think podcasts are a better place than video games because video games, you're dedicated and have to do it. But podcasts are things that people can do in those.
Well, podcasts maybe as a category, but individual shows, including this show, might be suffering because, you know, I'm still listening to Windows Weekly, but not as much because there's all these other shows and I'm sampling other things. I think there's such an array of content out there right now and so many things to attract your attention that every kind of, you know, thing, content consumption, including video games, is fragmented more and probably suffering as a result. I don't know. I'm just thinking. The fact that you're not playing Call of Duty, you may say, well, I'm an outlier.
This is something I did for me, right?
Like, I understand, but maybe you're not such an outlier in the sense that maybe there's other people thinking, you know, I really ought to cut back on this gaming. It was one thing for me to play 600 hours of Valheim in COVID. I haven't touched Valheim. Every once in a while, I fire it up and I go, and I play for a little bit and stop. I think times have changed.
Can I respond to this briefly for a second?
For sure.
The way I interpret this clip is what I've been saying for a long time, is that the days of the number one this, the number one that, this is, you know, must-see TV, this is the only place to be, we've got all the viewers, all the people, that's been over for a long, long time. And television networks, the only thing they have is their phony baloney Nielsen system, which is, you know, creates an artificial value in an artificially created scarcity of content because the linear networks where they only have 24 hours a day to make their money. And secondarily, and this is why value for value is the only way forward in my mind is, you know, because what they miss there is the overall recession that we're in globally, which also always brings down advertising rates. People just cannot subscribe to, you know, $10, $20 a month streaming services. And that goes for podcasts too. I think podcast subscriptions will also probably be limited for that very same reason where value for value spreads it out across the entire board. And people are getting very, very particular with what they're going to spend their money on, what entertainment. And when they're forced into payments, it's going to be a non-starter. And that is for the reasons they say there, but they're kind of missing the overall point of the idea of, oh, I'm on the homepage of iTunes. No one cares. It's your community, and you get out of it what your community puts into it.
I think there's two things happening here. There's an we know advertising is down for sure. We know that. That's
but yet revenue is up. It's crazy.
it is, which is it's a miracle. we know this is the case with advertising, but that's not necessarily what he's talking about here. He's saying, and they are concurring, that just flat out listening is down. And that's, you know, the podcast, the advertising piece is affecting clearly companies like Spotify, NPR, you know, everybody that's laying people off.
Now, does OP3 confirm that listening is down overall?
Now, I don't know. And it could, and this is where, you know, that's a complex question.
Mm-hmm.
I think if I can just cut in,
from my
perspective, I certainly think, you know, if I look at my own patterns and, you know, some of my friends' patterns where we, you know, talk about podcasting, our listening is up, but we're listening to a lot more smaller podcasts. Like, so it's more distributed. Like, I think, you know, you talk about, you know, social fatigue, and I think that's definitely true, but I mm-hmm. think people are just going to smaller communities, and I think that holds true for podcasting as well. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, they maybe even find podcasting through the big shows, like something like, you know, Dateline or, you know, Serial. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and those big shows, you know, they're typically monetized, but then people, you know, they find out, oh, there's all these other shows, you know, and some of those small shows, they're not monetized.
How about this? How about this as a off the wall theory? Because we all broke during COVID, the thing we're tired of, and I certainly have this, and I'm sure there's a overall fatigue of being a part of the mass. And the mass usually is split up to, you know, pro, against, red, blue, up, down. You know, it's all, we're tired of being part of a big group that fights against another group, or just being part of a big group in general. Yeah. And that to me is almost as certain as the pendulum swings between centralized and decentralized. You know, that in technology, you see this all the time. And I think for the first time, we may be seeing, or, you know, the pendulum has been in the centralized sector for entertainment for a long time. And now it's decentralized. You know, it's kind of like when we had disco, you know, and then it's like, oh, and then we had punk and we had ska, we had blitz, and we had all these, you know, and you could go into your, and then, you know, like we, in America, we had, you know, top 40 radio, and then we had college radio. It was cool to find this little college station. You know, I think that pendulum swings as well. We may be on a massive swing towards decentralization of our entertainment.
That makes a lot of sense. I think it also fits. It also fits with my pretty well, actually, with my just general inclination, which is my overall, my podcast consumption is down a little bit, but not a ton. But my overall media consumption, if you know, my media diet as a whole is definitely down. And it's because, like, you're a hard read on this, Adam, because this is your job. I mean, your job is media, you know, deconstruction. So you're not really, it's not really a clear with you. But like, I saw it first with Netflix. We dropped our Netflix subscription, and we didn't drop it. The reason we dropped it is because we went like 4 months and didn't even open the app, because it's almost like they just simply ran out of compelling content.
Now, let me give you a personal experience.
Okay.
Yes, being a media deconstructionist, I felt I needed everything, and I had a $300 Spectrum subscription, cable, television, included internet, to be honest. So the chunk of that is internet, but it was outrageous. And when Tucker Carlson left, that was pretty much the only thing I would check out, and not even regularly. My own fatigue was like, he's not saying anything interesting. We got rid of it. Yeah. And then we got YouTube TV, and we haven't fired that thing up more than five times.
Okay. See, this is what I'm saying. And I don't know that anybody understands exactly why this is.
But let me just interject.
Okay.
We watch The Chosen on their own app on the Roku. And the other day we wanted to watch the K-Love Awards and got it not on YouTube TV, on YouTube, the Trinity Broadcast Network. So I'm kind of more with Martin. Our consumption is up, but it's much more diverse. I am definitely listening to more podcasts for longer than I used to. Now I have opportunity. I don't have a commute, but I cook, I do, dishwasher cleaning, I take showers. This is when I'm listening most of the time. And I would say overall, the length that I'm listening, maybe I've added one or two podcasts, but the length is up. And I'm also feeling much better for it.
For sure. That's for sure the case with me too. And I think the big loser in this is going to be general media consumption. I think there are going to be networks. Yeah. You're going to have one or two or three. You're going to have a few big things that suck people to it momentarily. And then it goes away. The days of people just letting letting my Netflix subscription go month after month after month and not watching those, that's over. That's not good. It's like scrolling endlessly on social media when you don't have a purpose. I think there's two different kinds of friction that happens. You have like the initial friction of I mean with an app or a service or anything. You have initial onboarding friction that can turn users away from ever signing up in the first place. That's one kind. There's another kind of friction, which is a slow buildup, a slow friction buildup over time from ad load, other monetization plays. Mm-hmm. The original structure of the platform has changed out from under you, and you don't like it anymore. It's no longer has as much compelling content, and that thing leads to this slow. People just float away and they just don't come back.
It's like going bankrupt. It's very slow, then all of a sudden it's really fast.
And you turn it off.
And yeah. Spotify's own note, I think, confirms what we're talking about here. So forget all the stories about, so they fired 200 people, which I think was probably 2/3 of their podcasting division, maybe even more. I don't know. But here's how adaptation of an internal update on Spotify's podcast business from Sahar El Abashi, VP, head of podcast business. I only need to read a little bit. In early 2019, we saw an opportunity to invest in the small. Okay. First of all, fuck you very much. In the small but rapidly growing, I'm sorry, I just that one thing angered me. The arrogance of these people. In the small but rapidly growing podcast space. And since then, we have helped transform the industry. Well, let's see what they've done, shall we? And this is all the things we're talking about was what they feel they did. Spotify is now the most used audio podcast platform in most corners of the world. It's also the number one podcast publisher in the U.S. There are now more than 100 million podcast listeners on Spotify, 10x growth. Since we entered the space, over 500 million people have listened to a podcast on Spotify. Consumption has grown more than 1,400%. Podcast content has increased from 200,000 titles to over 5 million shows on Spotify. Amazing how they did that. Amazing. Really? Oh, goodness. 165 of Spotify's original and licensed shows hit number one on our charts. Across 99 sure markets in 2022, podcast ad revenue experienced high double-digit growth from 21 to 22. In addition to fueling a revolution for the medium, this massive group of creators and listeners has also taught us an enormous amount about where podcasting is today and where it's going tomorrow. So first of all, what they did is everything right. Number one, the best, 10X.
Why are they failing?
Exactly, because that is the space of humans was moving in exactly the opposite direction. We know that creators have embraced the global audience on our platform, but want, here it is, improved discovery to help them grow their audience. Hello, Todd Cochran. We also know that they appreciate our tools and creator support programs, Anchor, but want more optionality and flexibility in terms of monetization. So that is what we are doing over here. Distributed, mm-hmm. smaller groups. I mean, most people don't even know it. But if you listen to noagendastream.com, this is a community of podcasts who are boosting each other. They're hanging out together. It's all in the same chat room. And they're doing it all in the 2.0 apps. And it's a small community. You know, it's a couple thousand people listening live at any given moment, if that. But it's working, and the value exchange is motivating, and they all love each other, and they're having fun, and they're creating fun stuff together. And you know what that means? That means they're not using Spotify or Netflix or you know MSNBC or anything of that. So I'll finish up with their final words here. Given these learnings and our leadership position, we failed. We recently embarked on the next phase of our podcast strategy, which is focused on delivering even more value for creators and users. I love that. Users. Whenever you call your audience users, you're a drug dealer. This begins with maximizing consumption from the massive audience we've established through format innovation and ensuring that more creators in more places achieve success. Yeah, well, adopt the namespace simultaneously in collaboration with the podcasting community. Woo! We are broadening our analytics capabilities by expanding Spotify for Podcasters, which will help creators maximize their audience on Spotify and beyond. Underpinning this effort is a continued leveling up of our advertising offerings and the introduction of more business models to help creators make meaningful money from their work. Meaningful money is value. I don't know what they mean by meaningful money, but in our world, it's value. I would love for Spotify to get their head screwed on straight. I don't think they will. I have no illusions. But they failed in the old system of being number one, bringing in the Hollywood people to hire, you know, top talent. And that's not the trend. The trend is smaller communities supporting the creative process with time, talent, and treasure. You can call it whatever you want, call it value for value, anything you want. Even Patreon is a version of time, talent, and treasure. So are subscriptions, but it's a little unobtainable. I just don't see that as a moving forward. You know, people have to make choices. You know, I get emails these days, probably received about four. And it's like, hey, Adam and John Dvorak, I just want to let you know why I'm stopping my payments, you know, and then comes a whole story. You know, of course, you know, it's like, right, lost my job. You know, tough times, right? Tough times. But they take the time to send me a note and say, I feel bad about it. And we always reply, are you kidding me? You can help us in so many ways. It doesn't have to be money. Don't worry about it. That's not what we're here for.
But the fact
that people send those notes means that there's something else between just I'm paying for a subscription. And that's why Martin, I saw you, I think you were talking with Stephen B chatting on No Agenda Social, that you guys are saying, you know, if the Satoshis weren't flowing, you probably would have given up a long time on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say both the Satoshis, but also, you know, the messages, the boostergrams that comes with them, you know, it's just super motivational. Like, you know, after the break with Podfriend, you know, of course, there's still people using Podfriend even in that break because they, you know, somehow, you know, made it their app. But when I came back, I saw immediately people just jumping in, helping test it, sending
boostergrams. Bug reports.
And boostergrams as well.
But
every little thing helps. Like when you're just one developer, you don't have a Q&A team. And even though, you know, I feel like, oh yeah, I probably tested everything. And of course, there's still, you know, bugs. And there's a few people that really went out of their way to, you know, test things and send bug reports. And, you know, if it was me, I would probably have given up, like as a bug reporter, because, you know, I got reports about the LB connection not working. And I was like, testing, and okay, I think I fixed it now. And then they're like, no, it still doesn't work. Okay, no, now I fixed worst. It. Oh, it still doesn't work. And, yeah. You know, when you have a third party like that, I can't see what's going on the LB side. So I'm like, it worked.
Soul crushing is what that is.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And then I, you know, tried to add more, you know, client side logging. So and then suddenly we could see what was wrong, and it was my code, of course, and it was like a, you know, one branch of code that I thought it would never enter. And
I'm interested in. I want you to come back to that because I'm interested to see what that was.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah, but what I want to say is just like the value for value, you know, it really is time, you know, talent and treasure. Like the time is just so important, and the talent as well. Like, you know, sometimes people reach out like and just want to help improve things. And also, for example, the Transcriptator library, you know, that it saves me time to use something like that and, you know, just plug it in. And of course, I already had some code that did something like it. But then suddenly there's an option like, oh, you know, now I can just say I always want, you know, 32 characters max and, you know, automatically bundle, you know, those one word, you know, lines together.
Martin is also our first guest who, sticking with the talent part, who has been asked to select a song to play. So for those of you listening to this, listening in real time or listening after the fact, please make sure you're using CurioCaster, PodFriend, of course. Has anyone else been added to the list for the value time split yet? I think those are the only two still. Dave, do you know?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Oh, when we play a song for the value block to change.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know of any others. I mean, you said Oscar's in progress, but I haven't heard from him. Right. No, so it's still the only two. Yeah.
So
and the only caveat is, you know, if you're listening on PodFriend live, it doesn't work because I still haven't hooked up to Stephen B's magical live stream yet.
It's okay.
WebSocket. It's only the after the episode.
It's all running with scissors. Games. It's okay. Yeah, exactly. It's all right. It's all running with scissors. So why don't you tell us what you chose and why?
So first of all, I would say that, you know, looking for a good decentralized artist and track to play, I had the, you know, same experience that I might have had like 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you know, going into a record store and looking through records, but with no categories or anything. Like, it's just, you know, judging by the cover and then, this looked like maybe R&B. Let me try to play it. No, that was techno or like a Bitcoin track or something. You know, I sent a boost in your last show where I said, hey, reach out if you know, blah. And only one person actually reached out, and that was Sir Spencer, who I know also have been supporting podcasting 2.0 for a long time. He's been joining some of our meetings. And he made an album with a guy called Abel Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's called Stay a While, and there's a track called Like Wine, and he brought an interesting, you know, topic for discussion, and that is, if you're self-hosted, then you can't appear on Wavelake.
Right.
You have to upload all your music, and they're actually they're creating a feed where they're taking 100% split for themselves, and then you can, you know, log in and withdraw. And I thought, First, I thought, that's weird. But then I, at the same time, I was thinking, Well, why shouldn't they be allowed to do that? Like if it's their platform, and I'm sure they're doing the 100% split just to make it easy for themselves, for onboarding, so that they don't have to ask people for wallets and things. But I guess, you know, since the decentralized space is so new, like it is an interesting discussion to have. And I also wondered, why don't they allow anyone to, you know, not upload their music, like hook into their platform and just, you know, give them a, let's say, a 10% split or something. Like, it seemed to me that they could expand their reach. But yeah, it is an interesting discussion to have.
You know, and I think part of that was, and I've seen this on No Agenda Social, you know, people, well, that's centralized music and that's bad. And, you know, we need decentralized. And I will remind everybody that 90% of you are using a centralized wallet system known as getalbi.com. So be careful who you're pointing the finger at. But I agree that it's all okay. And sometimes people need to start out that way, you know, it's like, and then they say, hey, you know, I want to have more splits. I want more functionality. I can self-host it. I can go to Music Side Project, and do it that way. I think the market shows the way. The only reason why we've been playing tracks mainly, except for the last one, from Wavelake, is so that we can show the effectiveness.
Yes.
You know, it's been a marketing exercise, basically.
And so, they have a great repository of music too.
They do. And we love them, and we hope that they figure out things that work best for them. And we'd love to see a lot more of their music showing up in the index. And we're open to all. This is really, you know, we're running with scissors on this, but it's like those little baby scissors you use in kindergarten, you know, it's like
safety scissors.
Yeah. But it's all good. That's what's so great about it. And so instead of complaining, you know, I think everyone can just do their own thing. I love the self-hosted music, and the only thing I wanted is we've discussed that is we just need to be able to see what's going on. We need a feedback mechanism. So that's coming. And we love anybody who is involved with this, no matter how they're doing it. It will come down to discovery. So how can I, as a podcaster, just what you said, Martin, how can I find a song? So I use LN Beats. I also parse through. I don't think I have a way to search at podcastindex.org on Medium equals music. That would be cool if there is a way to do that.
On the website interface. Yeah, no.
Just to be able to sample it. I'm not quite sure. Sovereign Feeds pulls in stuff from I don't know where, but that's really the way I do it. And interestingly, when I do it in Sovereign Feeds, I have no way to test to listen to the music. I can find it all and I can put the value blocks in, but I can't hit a play button anywhere to listen to what it is. So this is all brand new, and we have to look at it from all sides, from the artist, from the podcaster, from the app developer. But what we were doing, the feedback I'm getting from artists, and I've got a couple of people who want to come in and do stuff with us specifically for us, who have songs that are, you know, they have record deals. They want to do things outside of that. So when we have a few more of these, you know, when we have a few more apps doing this, we have the live stuff working. I can feel this in my loins. We're doing something. This is going to be the focus of my Bitcoin magazine article.
Loins, another great word. It's like lunch and moist.
I have moist loins when I listen to this song. Activating the block, everybody. There you go. And we're going to listen to Like Wine from Abel and the Wolf from the album Stay a While.
This day couldn't get much colder. Pray and keep the watch while you go down the stream. Like all the ones before. Dare to be different, honey. It's not the life I promised you. But born and a sleep disorder is all the cells inside of me. Just grow sharper.
all the better, dear, to cut you deeper too. It's you running through my heart like water. It's you running through my head like wine. It's you even blinds me when I'm sober. It's you running through my head like wine.
Podcasting 2.0, like wine, with the value block being split between Abel Kirby, Sir Spencer, and Booberry. Gotta love it.
Nice.
Gotta love it. And I had a rare moment back in the day, you know, on the radio. It's like, oh, I could finally go to the bathroom. Who else went? Come on, come on. Did you go, Dave? No?
No, I did not go. No, I was, as proofed by the live stream, I've been here in my seat the entire time. But it's funny because there's an entire alternate universe going on over here in this, in the No Agenda Tube live stream.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, it is, they are troubleshooting. They are running with scissors as we speak, testing the value, the Airheads, Lightning. Value block plugin.
Oh, cool.
All of Alex's No Agenda 2 work. I mean,
oh, this has
been a fantastic test of the PeerTube live stream experience. This was good. But here's when I decided to do this, like, you know, we got to start, like we talked about with the Bitcoin 2024 people, we got to start testing this stuff because, I mean, yeah. Like, the I mean, PeerTube now with Alex and Airhead's work to get all this stuff going, you know, we need to make sure that it works, number one. But then what I would love to have, and I don't know how to do this other than just bake it into the feed generator that we use ourselves,
mm-hmm.
is to have alternate alternate enclosures. So, you know, is to have the video as an alternate enclosure and the audio is the enclosure, video is the alternate enclosure, so that we can have both streams delivered in the feed. That way people can flip back and forth. That would be ideal. I mean, like right now, if we had alternate enclosure in our feed, running with scissors, no agenda tube stuff would be coming through as an alternate stream.
At
the same exact time. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
And people could flip their video and see me and because of the stream, the full stream and everything's coming through. So like, I mean, it would be, it's a valid use case for testing the alternate enclosure.
My head is spinning. I did want to mention one thing about the Apple Vision Pro, why I like this device. And I think it's been misread by a lot of people. You know, I hear a lot of people who are talking about it, who clearly didn't even look at what it really does. Oh, it's an AR VR headset. First of all, it's Pro. Whenever you say Pro, I presume it's going to be for business. But I see it's there. They are selling this as spatial computing. And this makes sense to me because we went from laptops to iPhone to iPads, all different sizes, from mouse to touch. I think this is the perfect device for the future, for the people of the future who will be living in their tiny home, which is a foregone conclusion. You will be living in a tiny home or, you know, in a pod.
And you'll like it.
And you will like it. Now, people are going to be living in a pod. So, you know, there's just no room for a big screen to watch your entertainment. I don't think the gaming aspect is such a big part of this. What I want personally and why I will purchase this device, and I'd love for an app developer who wants to work with me on this, my biggest problem is space. I would love to have multiple screens for my podcast work that I can rearrange and put in different spots. And, you know, I can see chat room. I can, you know, just look at it. It'll highlight. It'll come closer. When I'm on the road, I schlep three screens with me, laptops, all kinds of stuff. I can see this as a total solution for building the ultimate podcast studio the way I want it. That I'm not restricted to, you know, an amount of screens or amount of physical space in order to do that. That I see as a big win for me. And, you know, I don't know, maybe my head will get tired. And I don't know if my Tourette's is going to mess it all up. Like boing, 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 have screens flying everywhere. But I think it may be something, the visual spatial computing aspect, there may be something there. Entertainment wise, I don't know. I don't care. I don't care about talking to people or any of that or watching a basketball game. I don't care.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like sitting here at home right now, you know, I have three monitors. I work exclusively remote ever since COVID. You know, we got in my company the option to be remote. And as I just said, yep, and never looked back. I have the three monitors, but whenever I go, for example, to the office, then I suddenly only have a laptop and it feels like I'm like
handicapped.
Yeah, exactly. And since I'm remote, you know, I could go visit my family, you know, and work during the workday and then, you know, spend the time with them. And here I'm talking about like my mom or my aunt or something, or even, you know, go to the Maldives or, you know, visit you guys in the US. But I'm not going to bring three monitors and I'm not going to bring my keyboard. Like, but here suddenly, you know, yes, you would probably need like a hardware keyboard and a mouse, but that's doable. But then suddenly you have, you know, as many monitors as you want. And you can probably even say, hey, now I want to go into like pod friend mode, or I want to go into, you know, my normal work mode. And then it shows the monitors, you know, you left open.
Also,
I can definitely see it as a productivity thing. And I tried VR, you know, where you know, I just had monitors and it does work. And that was even, you know, extremely, you know, low pixel density or is it high? No, low, like compared to what the Vision Pro will be. So I definitely think that there is a lot of potential. But looking at the price tag, it's definitely like a...
Well, you know, the way that's being explained is, well, you're getting a computer and you're getting a huge screen television, etc. You're getting all those bits and pieces in there.
And that's fair, except that you probably also have the other things. Like, you still have a TV, you still have a...
Not in your tiny home you won't, Martin. Not in your pod. There's
a couple of issues here that I see. No, I think the biggest one clearly is that your use case, while completely valid, is such a small fraction of what they need to sell in order to make this thing feasible.
Oh yeah, I know.
It will completely crash and burn. And the other issue that I see nobody talking about, which is I find it impossible to believe that they have solved this, is all augmented reality stuff has the same problem. They lose state. They lose their connection to the geometry of the space around them, and this happens frequently, and you have to start moving the device very slowly, or else the visuals begin to jump all over the place. Like, I find it very difficult to believe they've actually solved that problem where you can move naturally without thinking about it, and nothing glitches out.
But they certainly didn't show anyone moving around. Everyone was static, standing at their desk or sitting down. The other thing I'll say, and I'm going to call this a big success, not this version, but this will be a success. Mm-hmm. I think the way it would work for me is I'm going into work mode, or maybe it's entertainment mode, and the rest, I'm just going to have my light phone. I don't care. Now I really don't care. When I'm in workspace, in podcast space, I put this thing on, I'm doing it, I've got everything there the way I need it. I can do it anywhere I want to do it, technically, or, you know, I guess philosophically. And then I can be completely out of all that in the real world without any connection outside of it. And it would really separate versus, oh, let me just walk up to the laptop. Let me just check that thing on the computer. Let me just grab my phone. I think for me, mm-hmm. I think it'll be beneficial. I mean, the experience, I don't know if it's there. I've seen some people who have used it on YouTube, and, you know, they say it's pretty remarkable. So for my work mode, for what I do, I'd be very excited to have an app that is my podcast studio, and I've got all my things there, including a mixer, everything.
It's like the device that you tried to create a few years ago, where it perfectly met your needs, and it's like, well, is the market big enough to just sustain it as a product?
Well, and then the Australians stole my idea, and it's fantastic. I mean, I love what the Rodecaster Pro. Even the Duo, that's closer to what I was building. You know, they build that for $499. God, I love them for that. They built exactly what I wanted, what I needed. And I think there clearly is a market, but my mistake was thinking, you know, I can service that market. You need, hardware is hard. you need a lot more infrastructure and sales and channels and all this stuff. And they've got that. They're an established company, and I applaud them for it.
Let's see what I hear you. Go ahead, Martin.
No, I was just going to say, let's also remember that, you know, Apple is a, you know, premium company, and, you know, just as with the iPhone, you know, then if this turns out to be, you know, a success, then there will be half priced. You know, VR sets, you know, that can do maybe not the exact same thing, but almost the same thing. And maybe even, you know, maybe they can do some things better. I got the feeling that, you know, while watching that video, and of course, some of it is just buzz right now, but I definitely got the feeling that this is the start of, you know, something big.
Yeah, I think so. I went the visual glitch out thing to me is a huge deal, and maybe I'm wrong. I remember going to when 3D television was first becoming a thing. I remember going to locally they had the college football championship game. I can't remember what year this was. The college football championship game was on. They were playing it in theaters, and so this was like an ESPN's. Big push to show off their 3D technology. So they were filming it live with 3D cameras. And so you would go to the movie theater and watch it. And so we got tickets. I think it was Florida and Ohio State that year. So we're watching, and we had 3D glasses on and all this kind of stuff. And it was neat. But then every so often the cameras would go out of focus, which I mean happens during live sports. They would go out of focus for a second or two and readjust. When that happened on a huge screen, you felt like your head had just been turned inside out. It was like,
No, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong. But we have to actually try it. Hey, am I mistaken that I'm looking at v4vstats.com? Is it v4vstats.com? Is that what we did?
Yes, that's right.
Uh-huh. It looks like overall we're up. Overall numbers seem to be up. Like, typically it was like a million sats rolling through. Am I saying this right? Let me see. Now it seems like we're at 2.2 million sats flowing through the system per day.
What time period are you basing that calculation on?
I'm just looking at the 7 days.
7 day. Okay.
No. I'm sorry. No, that's different. It just seems like it's up.
I think it's up in the short term. That hasn't been reflected in the long term yet. I think you can see that from the day it begins to peak.
90 days does have a slight trend. It has a slight uptrend. If I drew a line, it would show an uptrend from about 4,000 to 6,000, whatever that
would you
is.
Would you call this a head and shoulders pattern?
Sure, a black swan event. That's what it is.
Woo-hoo! A cup and saucer? Is this a cup and saucer?
Shall we thank some people since we've been yapping away for a bit here? First of all, I want to thank Kyron. I got my T-shirt. Very excited about that. And I just wanted to share this note because, I boosted. Actually, it was the episode you were on, and I boosted him. And my boost was enough to get me a T-shirt. Thanks for supporting Mere Mortals, Adam. Everything you and Dave have done and are doing is changing lives, mine in particular. I can't express how grateful I am for you. You're a wonderful human being. Heart. Lots of love from Kyron. Oh, it's so sweet.
It's really nice.
And that is this note is something I'll keep. T-shirts, wear and tear, but this note will stay with me forever. Appreciate that, Kyron. Let's see who's been boosting us live. We've been getting a lot in, particularly during the song, of course. We want to thank Mike Newman, 33,333 sats, live homeboy Abel Kirby listening. Boost!
Boost!
Harv Hat with 11,111. Nice satchel of Richards. We've got happy birthday, Sir Spencer from Stephen B. It's also Sir Spencer's birthday today. How about that? 6969. And Stephen B says, so I hear you wanted the ability to add custom value recipients during a live show. Well, you asked, I delivered. Next time you reload Sovereign Feeds, you'll see the ability to add custom addresses to the value block. What?
Okay.
I love that. I'm not going to mess around with it right now during the live production, but thank you. Boobery, Martin. Martin, are you boosting while we're talking?
Sorry.
4321 from Martin. Thanks for having me on the show. Boosting back a little bit of my earnings. You don't have to do that, brother. Appreciate it. Boobery says, with 3333, Adam, would you kindly play the Hey Citizen Piano Man cover from last Sunday's Live No Agenda as an end of show mix today? It's awesome. Yes, we're going to play that, particularly because this is more of an end of show meant for podcasting 2.0. It's 5 minutes. I can't. There's no value block to put in for it. Also, it's licensed. So, in the context of education and parody, it's okay to play it in the context of the show, but we can't really be boosting for it. But it is fabulous. Dave and I both love it, and we're very happy to play that at the end of the show. This Dr. Brian of London, this is new. Dr. Brian of London. Yeah. 31,948. There's your big Israeli freedom boost. If time fraction is a fraction of time left as a decimal value, and time left is the amount of time left in seconds, give me a function to calculate what time interval in seconds will result in a 1% drop. Pew! Oh, oops. I'm sorry.
What the heck? What is he talking about?
He says, I'm sorry. This isn't the chat GPT window. Okay. Okay. funny.
Okay, Brian.
Another 33,333 from Harv Hat through CurioCaster. Eric PP with the boost with 3333. Boobery with 16,969 says, had to pop into the boardroom to use the podcaster's room. Currently en route to the arms of a small group of people for Spencer's birthday, which is today. All roads leads to Uranus, Missouri. Everyone's in a mood today, aren't they? Another boobery, 3333. The lightning bolt in the V4V logo got lost on the Fountain Live page with it being a PNG, not always having the background. Yeah, that's a known problem. I should fix that. 33,333 from Eric PP. No note. Thank you. Martin with 1,000. Pew, pew. Alwyn Conchax. Hello. Greeting from Prague, he says, with two boosts. 167,167 and 67,676. Thank you very much. We really do appreciate that. And then we have our test boost, Harv Hat 1111 and 11,111. A boob from Amadeus pre-show. Flashings for all, 8008. Another Martin pre-boosting the pre-show. And that takes us up to, well, we're close to the delimiter. So thank you all very much for pre-boosting Podcasting 2.0. And we're going to thank the rest of the people who came in during the week.
We got no one-off PayPals this week.
Transition completed.
we have fully transitioned.
Yes.
We got none of those. I'm afraid. Actually, I need to open up.
You didn't do your boostergrams. You were too busy setting up OBS.
No. I'm just afraid to open Thunderbird because I've got so much crap going here already. Let's see.
It's all right. Let me jinx it.
Boot.
There you go.
I'm like, let's see.
Sorry, I got some error on Hindenburg that said you're going to lose data, the stream from the something, and we can't. It's not fast enough. I don't know what it said, but luckily I have a backup running.
But
now I can see the actual, you know, like the it's hard to explain, but the recording cursor is moving, except now the waveform is a little behind. So I don't know if we've lost something. I wrote down a code. I'll check it. I have a full lossless backup in case. So no worries.
Oh, sweet. Okay. Well, let's see. This is... okay, so we got boostergrams. We got Anonymous 2222.
Nice.
Well, there's multiple of those. 2222. There's four of those. So thank you, Anonymous. Mike Dell... through Podverse, he says no name while live due to Albie issues, all fixed now.
Okay.
Oh, I guess he means his name didn't come through. Thank you, Mike. 1337 from Gene Bean, he says through Castomatic, is now going to have to try and find the stream of Dave doing the upgrade so I can see the keyboards. I'm a bit of a keyboard junkie too. See, that's the thing. It's a live stream. It's ephemeral. It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. You lost it.
If you weren't there, that's it.
It didn't happen.
Tree falling in the woods. Gene Bean, 4096, a 4 kilobit boost from Castomatic. He says, regarding the multiple GUID resolvers, it might be worth doing something slightly more advanced than DNS load balancing that takes into account some kind of health check to ensure the individual resolvers are up and functioning. Yeah, we can definitely do that because that's what we do already with Podping. Podping, we use Cloudflare to load balance and dynamically remove unhealthy edges, you know, edge nodes out of that. And all of a sudden we can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem. Chaos 99, 1100 sats through Fountain. He says, I'm your deduping Huckleberry. How do I enroll for the dedupe army? we haven't even talked about this yet. I'm like, I had a good long conversation, with, Spurlock.
Yeah,
this week about this very issue, and so we talked a lot about it, and I wanted to bring it up on the show, but I don't know that we'll have time. This is a big topic, so we'll discuss the deduping and the index, you know, ingestion and all that stuff. We can do that. We can talk about that next week.
Yes, for sure.
Did you boost 45,000 sats?
Okay. Here's the problem, but I wasn't boosting us, and I bet you we didn't get 45,000 because that went to Corey Keller from Pod Friend, I think, right?
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. This, the value time split.
Now you see. Now you see.
All right. Wait, hold on.
Yes.
Boost.
I've got to get.
I probably sent another one too.
You did?
Yeah. I boost our artists. Are you kidding me?
Adam, did you boost during the live or after the episode was published?
No, I didn't boost during the live. I'm going to wait. No, that was last week, Martin, and that was after it was already published.
Oh, okay.
Well, not during the live. Work. Yeah, no, that one worked. I know that one worked. I tried during the no. I don't know. I boost so much. I'm all boosted out.
Alex said, Dave's living dangerously, sharing his primary inbox live on the stream. Yes, I am. No secrets. Kyron 2222 from Mere Mortals podcast in Fountain. He says, have been explaining what you're doing with music at my local BTC meetup, and I think it's striking a note. I'm hoping to do a live demo next month to showcase Albie at the same time.
Nice.
Excellent. Okay.
We need more of that for sure.
Yeah, 5,000 sats from Clarkian, buddy of mine. He sends a sunshine boost through Fountain. Thank you, Clarkian.
Thank you, Clarkian.
Satchel Richards from Joel W. Thank you, Joel W. Appreciate that. And let's see. Let me flip back over here. We got that one. Brian Intzmeyer, 1701 sats through Castomatic. Says podcasting 2.0 badgers are a great idea. Oh wait, no, it says badges, not badgers.
Badgers. I like badgers too.
Yeah. Let's see here. We got 10,000 sats from Franco Solario. Test boost. Thank you, Franco. Appreciate that. Test successful. 2,500 sats from Anonymous through Castomatic. Thank you. Oh. 222 mega ducks in a row boost from Chris Fisher at Jupiter Broadcasting.
That's a big baller.
Baller, shot caller, 20 plays on the Impala.
Yeah, combo. Nice. Thanks, buddy.
On the topic of YouTube sucking out the revenue from the podcast advertising space, it's already happening. Longtime, well-established podcast sponsors are pulling out of podcasts for the remainder of the year and doing just YouTube buys.
Wow.
Because they can do them at scale. The individual deals with the podcasters take too long and the results vary too much, and they can't adopt quick when the money is tight. So they are just expanding their YouTube buys. Googs trying to catch up. I guess he means Google.
Is that YouTube or is it also the evil TikTok? Because I'm thinking that a lot of that's got to go to TikTok. All I hear is marketing people who are shifting their budgets to TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're being lied to, and not purposely, but you know, all these numbers about, you know, billions and billions served, billions of dollars in podcasting, it just doesn't ring true to me. It's got to be combo with radio buys, and it doesn't sound right. And I wish I knew that we could trust all these numbers. I mean, I guess that's the same with anything. You can't, like, I can't trust Twitter's view count. All I can trust is V for V. That's all. Yeah. I know. I see the sats. The sats are there. They're in my wallet. No one scooped them up.
And you don't know who's being honest and who's not. I mean,
I think a lot of people are not dishonest, but they're just taking numbers at face value. It's like, oh yeah, 1.8 billion. It's going to be 5 billion by the end of 2024. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet Spotify had to fire 200 people. Explain.
I see nothing wrong with this logic.
Explain. Put that in chat, GPT.
Bad career advice, Chad. 3333 sats through Fountain. He says the sats never come until it has rained V for V. Love the tune.
Thank you.
Bad career advice, Chad. 1234 again through Fountain. He says, regarding gamification of dedupe, don't worry about sats. Create badges. Badges are actually tags, and app creators can do a certification of activity against the tag. Then there can be badge specific perks. Exclusive jam sessions, just my two sats.
By the way, thank you very much, Booberry. I love you, brother. Gave me a whole new V4V logo on the fly. I've already plugged it in. I'm going to save this, publish the feed. Might even change for you while we're doing it. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
What is it? Is it look killer?
Yeah, it's animated. It's got like blue clouds flying behind it and stuff. Oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Nice. I updated the feed. I don't know if that'll come through right away, but it's killer. Thank you, man.
Cameron 10101 through Fountain. No note. Thank you, Cameron. Cole McCormick 5492 sat through Fountain. He says, if podcasting 2.0 is crashing Bitcoin 24, I'm there with you guys. Group voice. We are parallel economy.
Boost. We sure are.
Boostagram. This is a 500 sat boost from a random user on Fountain with a million emojis. He said, you. And then the message is, you weighs huge juju FL. Me.
Good. All right. Let me send some audio emojis. There you go. Audio emoji.
Jacob, 10,000 sats through Podverse. No note. Thank you, Jacob. John Siebert, 100,000 sats.
Woo! Got a note?
Yeah, let's see. Three of those. And see, here's again. I don't know if this is to us or to the artist.
Doesn't matter. So, baller for sure.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
It is so interesting watching this stuff with No Agenda Tube going on. All this develop, like all this checking and all this stuff. It is really cool. It's like watch. I mean, scissor sharpening. Mere Mortals podcast. Satchel Richards through Podcast Guru. Hey Adam, just checking if your MM shirt has arrived yet. Plus, check out where I'm boosting from. Yeah.
Where is he? Where is he boosting from?
I don't know.
Hey, question.
Podcast Guru. That's what he's talking about. He's boosting from Podcast Guru.
Oh, right. I promoted that on No Agenda yesterday. And I said, you know, we've got Fountain. John's like, never heard of it. I said, no, it's pretty big. He said, never heard of it. How about Pop? Never heard of it. Said, I've mentioned it 100 times. How about Podcast Addict? Meh. Podcast Guru. Why is it a guru? Like, oh, brother. Hey,
it's wonderful that he's open to new things. That's great.
On the stream, is that keeping everyone in the value block there with their value block tool? Does that take the value block that I have for the live stream and repurpose it?
Yeah. I mean, it's our value block and it's our value block with Alex's split in it.
I love this stuff. It's the best.
It's the best. Just parallel universes running in tandem.
I love it.
3333 Balderdash Boys through Fountain. He says, thank you for your help, Adam, and go podcasting.
Well, that was also Dave, of course.
Go podcasting!
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
How are you on the tools?
The tools?
Yeah.
That was part of the discussion with Spurlock.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think we got some ideas. We can do it next week. Borlog, 11711 through Podverse. He says, a S-S-O-R?
What?
An S-O-R where the middle one is just bent a little. Strong work, gentlemen. What is he?
Is S-O-R? Is that the S-O-R?
It's like an acronym. It's just all caps, S-O-R.
I don't know.
Man, Borlog, I'm not following, brother. I don't know what you're talking about.
Trying to think what S-O-R would be. I don't know.
I have no idea.
State of readiness, sold out rate, student owed repayment, steam oil radio. I'm out of ideas.
Steam oil radio? That's got to be it. There's no other.
It's
got to
be steam oil radio. Standing only room? No, it doesn't quite work.
Let's see. Jacob, 2,500 sats, no note. Thank you, Jacob. It's Joe Martin Music. 2,100 sats through Fountain. So is it possible to host, publish, and monetize your own content from a Start 9 embassy today? ?
Oh, very good question. You know, let me say this about that.
Jen, go ahead.
Looking at IPFS podcasting, because I was just looking at this, looking at IPFpodcasting.net, I think actually it is possible. So now I publish all of my feeds. I publish them all through Sovereign Feeds. And then that automatically gets ingested by IPFS podcasting running on the Start 9. And it creates a new RSS feed for me, which is identical to the feed that I already have, with one difference. And that difference is that all the media, in this case, the MP3s. So here it is. So my IPFS feed is ipfspodcasting.net/rss/3/podcasting2.0.xml. And then in that, he has HTTP links to very long URL for the MP3, which is a hash generated, of course. And it goes through ipfs.io. So it's using their common gateway. So it would work, I think. You could use that as long as you have a couple people pinning your content, which I would gladly do, by subscribing to your feed in ipfspodcasting.net. Now, the creation of your feed still needs to be done somewhere. So answer is not easily yet.
So this is where the solution, a solution for this would be if Sovereign Feeds had an app for the Start 9.
Correct.
Where you could plug in.
Yep.
Where you could take Sovereign Feeds and then plug in an object storage bucket somewhere that had a DNS name attached to it.
Yep. Yep.
Then you're gold.
And
all you need.
And those guys are going ClearNet pretty soon. So you will actually be able to host stuff on the Start 9 through your home connection. Of course, your results will vary. But just having a storage bucket, you're golden. And it could also be Castapod. Either one, but someone has to create an app. And apparently it's not all that hard. And I'm telling you, hear me now, believe me later. I am moving all my stuff to the Start 9. We had a power outage, which was cool. Because it was the first time
You got the generator.
Yeah, 2.5 hours on a show day, 7 a.m. I get up and boom, I see the lights flicker. I'm like, what's going on? And then I hear, and so the Jenny's running. Everything comes back, including the air conditioner, which was fantastic. The whole central HVAC. And everything came back up except my Umbral nodes. Because the Umbral nodes, you got to do a lot to get those back up and running. But the Start 9 restarted, rebooted perfectly. All the services came back up, was just running. So I am going to be moving. And I have a helipad running on it, which is an app now. And I have a Lightning node on it. And it's already, I've put it in a couple of blocks as a test. It's working fine, F word fine. So I'm going to start moving all of my value block stuff over from the Umbrals to the Start 9. And I hope to have only that Start 9 really running, although the Umbral still has a couple of apps which I use frequently and really love, but at least the payment part will go over to Start 9. It's an OS, man. It's not, nothing against Docker strung together, but this is a serious professional machine.
Well, So do you have on the Start 9, does it come back up automatically once the power goes out?
Came back out. And it came back up automatically. It was out for 2.5 hours, the power. It was fantastic. I loved it. Our life just continued.
Finally.
Well, and because the router came back up, but we've got the fiber connection. So, I don't think they have any power requirements until it hits whatever. Wherever the fiber's going, I don't know what the distance is before you have to amplify the light signal. But it worked just fine. I was prepping like normal. Can you imagine 2.5 hours on a show day? I'd be in my car on the, driving towards a Wi-Fi spot, cause I need power, eventually the laptop goes out. The thing paid for itself.
I think multi-mode fiber is like a mile or something like that. A mile and a half before it has to be repeated. A couple of miles.
Well. It worked.
I may be wrong.
And of course, I had the Starlink in case, but not the same experience.
Martin, what internet speed do you have in there outside of Copenhagen?
Yeah, I also have fiber, so 1,000 up and 1,000 down. So
okay,
I got 5 gigabits here, people.
Yeah, swing it around
up and down.
Yeah, I think 1,000 is like, well, 1 gigabit is the max here right now. If I could get 5, I would have 5. So I just googled that server now, and now I want one. So
the Start 9.
But yeah, exactly. But I am thinking like because I was thinking, hey, could I save money and just host the podcast PodFriend server on it? And I probably could, but do I want to?
No.
Run away.
No. Yeah. Been down that road many times. By the way, I need to interrupt. Anonymous, or someone who didn't know how to fill out their name on CurioCaster, has sent us in a row, one after another, 55,555, 44,444, and 65,656 Satoshis.
Paula, Shakala, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Don't know who you are, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, love and light. thank you so much. Comic strip blogger with a delimiter 33015 through Fountain. And he says, Dave and Adam, as the potential of advanced super technologies come, there is not many sweeter than the amalgamation of Bitcoin and that of so-called artificial intelligence. Data-driven, decentralized, and demonized by the M5M. Open source Benz and Bernadettes use them to empower the NWO build versions to enslave. BTC isn't far from CBDCs, AI, an evil corporate twin. Our ability to discern is only possible when information is present. This is why your AI.cooking podcast exists. Yo, she is being gwoof.
Whoa, and yo, thank you. Thank you. Always there. Every podcast those guys are boosting. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. AI.cooking.
Monthlies. Right. I got Joseph Maraca, $5. Emilio Cano Molina, $4. Cameron Rose, $25. Jeremy New, $5. Basil Phillip, $25. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Podverse LLC, the good boys over there, $50. Thank you, Mitch. And Creon. Christopher Harabarek, $10. And Mitchell Downey, $10. That's our group.
Thank you all so much for supporting Podcasting 2.0. You're not just supporting the podcast, you are supporting the entire project and everything that goes along with it, including liquidity for anybody who needs that, who is out there and needs a channel. We're happy to open one to you. Let's see. This is nothing on the Tally coin, although I did check, of course. And if you'd like to support us, time, talent, or treasure, follow us over there at noagendasocial.com. If you want to join, you can also hit us up for an invite, but really that's if you're going to be part of the party or just from any Mastodon instance, works fine. Go to podcastindex.org, excuse me, at the bottom. We got two red donate buttons, one for your fun fiat fun coupons in PayPal and one for the Tally coin. But what we really like is when you go to podcastapps.com, get one of the applicable podcast apps. What are you talking about? What's it, 10 that do value for value? Grab one of those, fill it up, connect your Albi wallet, whatever you need to do, and boost us often, boost us hard. Thank you for supporting Podcasting 2.0.
Martin, I got a couple of questions.
Yes, shoot.
Dark mode.
Oh,
possible.
Yes. I actually got an email about that today, this morning, and
it wasn't me, I promise.
No, it was someone that says, hey, I just love the app, but I'm getting blinded by it. It was also the number one request from my wife. She runs everything in dark mode. So I'm like,
Yep. Me too.
How many guys have a wife who runs everything in dark mode?
That's a keeper.
That's a real keeper. By the way, 77,777 from the same anonymous.
Go podcasting!
Jeez.
Coming in and say, Martin, are you seeing that? You must see a nice little chunk come in on your Get Albi wallet there.
Let me just see.
Meanwhile, a Striper boost, so I'll give a Striper.
Oh, wow. Yeah, my part of that was just 7,700 sats, just right down in the pocket.
Wait, and we got another one, 77,777. Go podcasting. Adam, you said follow us on No Agenda Social instead of podcast. Oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. Podcastindex.social. Thanks for reminding me with 77,777 sats.
Go podcasting!
I should make more mistakes.
Very nice.
Okay, so in PodFriend, the live episode art has already updated, and I see the animated V for V. That is killer.
Isn't that beautiful? I love
it. With the storm clouds on it?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
I didn't do anything. I didn't refresh the page. I didn't do anything. It just popped up.
How does that work? How does that work? Why did that happen?
What magic is this?
Why did that happen?
So the reason why that happened is actually because in the background, PodFriend updates the podcast page every 10 minutes just to see if there's anything new.
Oh, how about that?
So, yeah.
That's beautiful. I mean, like, I just flipped back over there to see if it would indeed blind me with the non-dark mode, and it did, but I also got to see cool artwork. Which is good.
The only thing is that now the show cover art is not loading for me for some reason.
Oh, I actually synced it with everything. Oh, that was probably dumb. Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold on. Show info. I know what I did. Yeah, because I synced the whole thing. That wasn't the smartest. Oh, I can fix that. I can fix that.
Dame Jennifer entered the No Agenda Tube chat. Nice. This is. I'm gonna have to like lay down and take a nap after this because
it's a little ADD much for you, input. David. I feel like you're fatigued. Do you have the rest of the day off? Do you have to go back to the big workplace?
Rest of the day off. I'm good. I can relax. My other question for you, Martin, is Peter.
But I didn't get to say, yes. I will be working on the dark mode. So within the next, when I say two weeks or something, I probably mean like within the next month. So,
okay.
But I think the way I programmed the interface, it should be fairly simple. Like I keep every single, you know, variable in one big app CSS state, like everything that is not standard, so it should be fairly.
What's your CSS framework? Is it like Tailwind or something?
No, so I actually use what's called SAS or
Notepad.
Yeah, like
Notepad.
the thing where you can have like nested CSS. So I think it's just SAS. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The one you have to compile, right?
Yeah. Exactly. It does compile like everything. Single time, yeah.
Hey, I fix it. So the cover art should be back. I actually accidentally synced the cool logo with everything. This is only supposed to be the live logo.
What up, Dreb? Yeah, Dreb's in the house now.
All right,
it's a party over here. PWA push notifications. What about that? Can we get PWA push notifications now that that's supported like across the board?
So you're asking me?
You're not going to get an answer from me. Yeah, sure. No. Every single app will notify you all the time.
No. Yeah. So that's definitely something that will come at some point because, you know, I want that. It's more that I've never tried to implement like a notification that's not like directly from the app. I just have to figure out, you know, how to do that best. It's probably super easy. I just never tried it before.
Okay.
Martin, we're at $2.08.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to end the party. Now, Dave, by the way, Dave will be ready with your boostograms. He will be removing a piece of clothing for the higher the sat boost is over there on his OnlyFans No Agenda Tube site.
Yes, fan tube.
After the show, the party continues.
Pure fans.
I'm even going to log in and check it out, see what's going on. Martin, really appreciate you staying up. What is it, about 10 o'clock now, your time? Really appreciate you being back in the boardroom. And it's so good to have you back, brother. We really are happy to have you and can't wait to see where you're going to take PodFriend.
Yeah, I enjoyed it super much, and it's good to be back. Like the you know, people have just been so great. So it's awesome. So yeah, I look forward to the future.
All right. Wait, I had an ISO.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to play it.
Remarkable.
I'm going to play the ISO. And remember, we have the Hey Citizen Boostergram song coming at the very end, which you will love because lots of fan favorites are mentioned in this. Dave Jones, my brother, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, man. You too, bud.
All right, everybody. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, boosters. We appreciate y'all. See you next week here for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Remarkable.
It's 9 o'clock on a show day. The IRC crowd shuffles in. There's an ISO bot clipping MP3s made with love by a dude named Cotton Gin. It records from the stream to its memory. Then it makes a sound bite from the show. And if you think that's neat, that's just one of the treats found in Podcasting 2.0. Oh, la, la, diddy da. La, la, diddy da. Boostergrams. Listen with love and light. Show support using lewd numerology. Yes. For whatever price you think is right. Carolyn and Sir Fletcher are friends of mine. They both host on the Hog Story. .net. It's a real thought provoker. When they light up the smoker, there's no place that you'd rather be. You'll find Lavish and the Mothman behind the schemes as the boys at Rare Encounter discuss anime. Wow. Even Christopher a superstar, leaving voicemails all over the place. Oh, la, la, diddy da. La, la, diddy da. Ka-ka! Now, Adam is a true podcast specialist, not to mention the keeper, his wife. And he's talking with Dave, cause that's the real podcast sage that brought the whole podcast index to life. Boot! The millennial media, offensive talk politics, and then the bowl after bowlers get stoned.
Typically naked.
We sit back and relax using new podcast apps, cause it's better than listening alone.
That's my hot meal.
I just felt something hot on my legs, and I realized that I was just peeing on myself.
Listen along, send a boostergram.
Boosty, boosty.
Listen along tonight.
Boosty.
roast me, bitch.
Cause we're all in support of the Liberty, helping MoFax bring new shit to light.
I've got information, man. New shit has come to light.
It's a pretty good crowd.
And it's a Monday.
All the boosters are sharing a smile. Cause they get it for free and return V for V to forget about life for a while. And the soundboard, it sounds like a carnival. John C. Dvorak cracks open a beer. Soon the chat room will be giving karma for free. Yay! Because that's how we roll around here. Oh, la, la, diddy da.
Amen. Fist bump.
La, la, diddy da.
Go podcasting!
Listen along, sending boostograms.
Boostograms.
Listen with love and light.
Podcasts are cool.
Show support for the whole podcast family.
Oops.
Cause they've got us feeling all right.
All right.
All right.
Boost.